Hey geeks, welcome to the Mall Geeks Podcast and our wrap-up of MosquitoCon 32, held in Wayne, New Jersey. Before we start, I would like to thank you, the listeners, for downloading and making us a part of your modeling bench session. I'd also like to thank our fine sponsors, Furball Aero Design, Sprue Brothers, Tamiya USA, Detail & Scale, Lionheart Hobby, as well as all of our generous Patreons. Now sit back as old Whitey and I jump into the wrap-up of this year's MosquitoCon 32. Hey geeks, how you doing? Darren and Whitey coming at you post-MosquitoCon 32.
Yep.
MosquitoCon 2024, which is their 32nd MosquitoCon in Wayne, New Jersey.
Yes, Wayne, sir.
New Jersey.
Nice little town.
Is it little, though, really?
I guess. I don't know.
The broad scheme of things.
My scope of knowledge of Wayne was the Police Athletic League Hall and the Hilton Garden Inn that we stayed at. So
that's right.
And Maggie's.
That's right.
Hit Maggie's if you're in town, folks.
Yeah, Maggie's.
What was that? Maggie's All-American Tavern or something like that. It was a very good restaurant.
Yeah, not too bad. So Whitey and I, we're coming back off of a show weekend. Wanted to drop in here mid-episode drop and kind of give y'all a wrap-up while it's still fresh in our minds of MosquitoCon 32. It actually happened last Saturday, April 6th. And a good time, I think, was to be had by all. This is our second one we've gone to in the last 3 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Well, we had the regular crew with us last year. Or that last time.
What was that? 2021, I believe.
Yeah, it was coming out. Actually, they had two that year, didn't they? We were coming out of COVID. They had the one at the end of 2021 we went to, and then they turned right around in April and had another one.
Yeah, I guess they just wanted to
bang bang.
I guess kind of recage their compass and get them back on their proper schedule.
Yeah. And you know, that first one we went to did not unimpress us. It was very impressed with that. I mean, there were some huge numbers, and you know, this one didn't let us down either. It was a good time.
It's a big show. I think Mike Drobleski, I'll probably murder his name. Sorry, Mike. been around the hobby forever. I think he's their show chair up there, or at least one of the head judges. I know he's come down to Fairfax IPMS Nova show and has assisted with organizing aircraft judging there. So, yep. But he's shot by the table. I think he mentioned like 500 plus models on the table. I don't know what that equates as far as entrance go, but also one of the big things up there was the foot traffic. Foot traffic and vendors was pretty heavy.
All right, so let's break those down just a little bit, each one of them. First of all, I want to say God bless him for making the trip down to Fairfax to be a judge, because I can tell you after the drive up there on Friday, that's a nightmare.
I-95 from here Friday is not fun, no matter where you are.
Turnpike is a parking lot. Right.
No. I think the traffic on I-95 probably stops somewhere about Bangor, Maine, north of, if it even goes, I don't know.
It starts in Jacksonville, Florida. It starts in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And it ends in Bangor, Maine.
And it doesn't end. Yeah. It's just, you know, and yeah, we didn't get out of here until, afternoon time on Friday, 11:30 or so. We hit the road.
Late.
And,
later than I wanted to.
Right, you know, work, et cetera, gets in the way.
Yeah.
And I mean, uneventful drive up, got there safe, but certainly hit our share of traffic. Got a little, I don't know, I have to go back and look at a map, but I don't know why we went up and I feel like we went past Wayne and then through Paterson, New Jersey and down. Was that?
I don't know. We were up on the GPS.
I was like, okay, why are we in Paterson, New Jersey?
Paterson, New Jersey, home of.
All right, this is some trivia for you, folks.
We would have never known. I am not going to give Paterson, New Jersey any love other than this, because it was really not a very fun place to drive through, but we're stuck at the light. And anyway, I'll go on with your trivia stuff.
Oh, no, like you said, we're stuck at the light, and I look over and I see a statue of Lou Costello, Lou Costello Memorial Park. And I'm like, why is there a statue of Lou Costello in the middle of this old mill town looking place? And, you know, you sure enough whipped up the old Googleizer and, yep, that's where Lou Costello's from, folks.
Yeah.
Paterson, New Jersey.
That was Lou Costello Boulevard or Drive or something, yeah. Something like that too. So, and you know what? That was the nicest part of Paterson, New Jersey, was that. I'm sorry for anybody that lives there. I'm not trying to, you know, but that park was nice. Anyway.
If I had time, I would have got a photo with the, with old Lou. I'm a fan. I like this stuff when I was a kid.
I probably would have stayed with the car and guarded it with my pew-pew. Anyway. But, so the drive up was, it was long, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, we did it once before, and we stayed one night and then drove back after the show.
Yeah, it's a two-nighter.
And that was not going to happen this time. We planned for two nights, and that worked out great because it was a long day. We got some content. We got a couple of sit-downs with some folks who we'll talk about later and put their interviews in the show here in this little wrap-up. But, you know, going around and meeting people, talking to people, perusing through the vendor area, you know, that's a day, man.
I think
we got out of there, I don't know, 4:35?
Yeah, man. Late. I mean, we were there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was a long day after a long drive, but well worth it. You know, you mentioned the vendor room and the vendors, very, very well attended in the vendor room. There was a lot of good vendors there selling their wares. Our friend Jeff.
Jeff Garrity from Rare Plane Detective,
yep.
Who you'll hear his interview from our ODO sit down in the upcoming episode this weekend.
That's right.
Episode 76.
Six. Yeah. Yep. 76.
So stand by for that one. Yep. Saw him there. It's an interesting way he goes about it, like, you know, because he's out on the West Coast, but he, like, talking to him briefly there in Jersey, he says, you know, he obviously from ODO a month ago down in Richmond didn't drive back to the West Coast.
No.
He got to travel back by air or whatever, but his van, he leaves here on the East Coast somewhere. I think, you know, he's got friends or whoever. And so that's how he kind of stages his stuff. Where he's going to be, and then that way, like, you know, I mean, he plans on being at Madison for the Nats, so I'm sure, again, he's not driving, oh, maybe he is, going all the way back to the West Coast and then swinging that way for in July. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. I think he still stages, though. It would make sense with the collections he buys and things that he does to, you know.
I mean, anyway, dedicated to the hobby, you know, dedicated to the bringing us to the hobby, bringing us the hard-to-find items.
Extremely hard-to-find items. They don't call him Rare Plane Detective for any reason, right?
Yeah. So, speaking of vendors, did you buy anything while you were up there?
You know what? I did not.
Really?
I feel so bad. Well, you know, I was really on the hunt for supplies. You know, I was looking for some black CA, some paints, et cetera, and where there were lots of kits for sale. I mean, a ton. There wasn't much in the way of a tool. Well, there was one tool vendor there. Had a lot of really cool stuff, but nothing I really needed. But there was no one like, you know, Angel from Microworld, right?
Right. Not like a retail store selling the normal supplies, rolls of Tamiya tape, paints, etc. You know, there was no one like that, which was kind of unfortunate. But definitely kits were, you know, tons of vendors, you know, and it seemed like a lot of guys, you know, getting, you know, selling stashes. PMM was there, I believe.
Yeah.
Classic Model Movers. And they're always, they always have great deals. But then aside from that, it was not so much a lot of commercial. It seemed like a lot of guys selling their wares. And so with that being said, there was tons of good deals. And
there were a poop ton of good deals. Who was the one that was in the very back corner? Oh, man, it was over by where the cars were when you know, in that back corner.
Yeah, I know. He had the space shuttle tower.
No, all the way at the other end. The other end.
Okay,
I can't remember what the name. Yeah. Our friend Mike knows who it was because I caught Mike putting stuff behind us. But he had some really great. He had the 24 scale Academy. Was it Hellcat for $75?
Man. Yeah, I kind of wish I jumped on that.
I know. I didn't either. But I mean, those kind of deals were there. But I wasn't looking for any kits. I need another kit, like I need a hole in my head. So I was.
I'm kind of in the same.
I got five of them sitting right down here waiting to be started, and two left on my desk. So,
yeah, I don't have anything on my list. You know, lately when I go to shows, it seems if something jumps out at me, I'll grab it. But there's nothing on my list, and I'm like, okay, I got to go get that. Not until that 148 P3 comes out. Yeah, right.
Oh, you're holding on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of 148 scale P3s, our good friend John Calasante was there.
Yes, sir.
And had some stuff for you to preview from your P3 days. Care to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, he come by the table, and him and Frildo have been emailing back and forth and working back and forth and sharing, drawings but he's doing an LSRS pod in 172nd scale. Google that if you don't know what it is. And then also, you know, the later years of the P3, like the time frame that Frildo and I were flying around on them, they added like chaff and flare dispensers, and a couple of different antennas and humps and bumps on them that aren't available anywhere else. And so you know, whether it be in the Hasegawa kits or not, so John is going to go ahead and do batches of P3 upgrades for the Hasegawa kit, which, again, if that Academy 72nd scale kit does come into fruition, I would say that they will, the same items would work with that as well if they're not already included. But he gave us gave me a bag full of his preliminary prototypes for me to I'm happen to be in work on a P3, so I'm going to use these things on the one that I'm building for a friend, and check the fit on them and that kind of thing, give them some feedback on it. The LSRS pod looks pretty sharp. I mean, it sizes out. We're talking about it's about a six inch long piece of resin, and rather than mold it as a whole one piece, he actually molded, had it done printed hollow with a top that goes on, because otherwise it would be you'd be wasting a lot of resin, and it'd be more prone to warpage and things like that. I don't know. I'm not a 3D printer, so I'm not going to get into the engineering behind why he did it, but it looks great, man. And he hasn't yet added the panel lines and the other fasteners and things like that that go to go on the item. He just wanted to, hey, check the shape for me, check the size, and see if that'll work. And right now, after coming back here and messing around with it and the kit that I'm in work on, it all sizes out just great. And I'll let him know that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was I've seen the back and forth between him and Frill in our little group chat deal, and I knew he was working on the pod. He was also, he was working on the nacelles, I think, too, for the engines, doing something with that as well.
He's talking about doing entire engine nacelles for that kit with, intakes and oil cooler intakes, because on the kit, they're just empty holes.
Well, when I saw him pull out all the rest of the antennas and the chaff flare buckets and the, I was like, holy, he's gone like six steps further than what I thought he was going to. And, if anybody out there, if you, the listeners, have seen him on the old face box and some of the stuff he's, I know there's been some pictures of his stuff there on the Scale Modelers Critique Group and some stuff within the Model Geeks Model Shack stuff. John's an artist, man, when it comes to that. That one motor that he did, he gave us in Texas, the, you know, as
yeah, matter of fact, I still have the FM, for the FM2, I believe, the
Wildcat,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is just phenomenal, man. The work that the guy does is just, and he does all the CAD work. He does all of it.
Yeah.
It's just nice amazing. Stuff. Really nice stuff. Yeah. Super guy too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Nice dude.
Just a super guy.
And on top of that, hello, the guy walked away with like four awards or something like that.
You?
He stacked up.
Oh, he did.
Not me.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, he did. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. You did not. No, you didn't.
He picked up best tail hook.
Yeah.
With his Sky Raider.
Oh, he did for the Sky Raider. Yeah.
Yep. And and a couple other items.
Radial.
A couple other I don't know what. I don't know the breakdown. You'll have to wait for the MosquitoCon 32 results to hit the streets. I just know he picked up best tail hook with because of that Sky Raider that he'd done that looked really sharp.
It did.
Very well wedded. I liked his the exhaust standing on it looked great.
Yep.
Which is, that's kind of a signature of a Navy or any, an Air Force or any A1 Sky Raiders, getting that exhaust to look right. So, and he pulled it off.
I've got a couple of those, the Tamiya kits, and I won't build them because of the exhaust. And
really?
Yeah. I mean, it just freaks me out, and I'm paranoid.
I'm just having a good reference photo and taking the time doing it.
I'm just afraid I'm not going to pull it off. He did well with it. He did really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Let's see. Who else did we run into while we were there? There was John Benford. We ran into our friend John Benford.
Yep, he had a very nice TA-4J, and I think he picked up a first in that category, single engine jets, 48 scale.
I think so.
Him and I talked for quite a while on some of the stuff that he did with the one of the things I liked about it was the he had pylons with some of those blue practice bombs.
He did,
which you don't see enough of. You see them in the fleet all the damn time. And then when it
That's
comes to modeling, you go, yeah, they're so prevalent. And, Dave Roof at Flying Leathernecks, of course, he does a set of them. And then there's another guy who's, John shared with me his screen name. Golly, it's on my, he sells via eBay, and he sells them as well. Golly, I can't
That's
remember
right.
the name. It'll come
I
to
remember
me, or I'll find it.
Well, we reach out to John. We could put in the show notes, but yeah.
Yeah. But, so his TA-4J had a stack of those on them, on the centerline multi-ejector rack, and they looked really great. And the whole thing looked great. I mean, he had, the plugs and covers and all that.
Yeah.
So excellent job with that, John. Who else? Let's see. Well, first of all, our friends who we run into quite often, Nelson and Jay and Mike Witowski, they were all there. We hooked up with them on Friday night for dinner, and then we all
at Maggie's
went to the show. Yep.
Going back to Maggie's, had some good dinner and some good drinks with some good friends. Yep.
Heck yeah, yeah, that was good. It was a good time. And of course, Chris Dirks, he was up there as well. He's another Nova guy. We frequently see at the shows, hung out with him for the night as well. He came out Friday night and then, spent the day at the show with us. And we sat down with Chris and, we'll put that in the show here as well. And because he'll talk about the, if you're at the show, he's the one who built the 72nd scale C-32 or 757, the vacuum kit. So he talks briefly on that. You get all the info you want on that kit when we sit down with him.
Yeah, so he's big on real space stuff that he does. And one of the best brass, I'm going to butcher this word because I can't say it, and it's just my South Texas slang, but solders. Anyway, he does soldering.
Solderer.
Solderer. Does all a little brass welder. How's that? He does all his own with his photo etching stuff, and really does a good job. He did very well. As a matter of fact, why don't we just go ahead and we'll roll that. We got him sitting down talking a little bit about that backform kit in real space. Let's go ahead and just roll
Let's
that.
Do it.
And so here's Chris in his words, what it takes to build that and a little bit of history on the backform kit in some real space.
Hey, what's up, geeks? This is Whitey. I'm up here with Darren at the MosquitoCon 32 here in Wayne, New Jersey at the Pals Hall Police Action League, right? Police Athletic League. Okay, you can tell I didn't grow up playing that in that division. Anyway, man, sitting here with an old friend of ours, Chris Dirks. He made the trip on up from Virginia, and he's got a couple of cool things on the table I want to hear him talk about real quick. Number one being that Vacform C-32. So it's C-32 for the uninitiated is basically a militarized version of a 757, right?
Yeah, 757.
All right, man. So talk to me about that kit. Who makes it, et cetera? How much fun did you have building it? Go.
Go. So the company is Titan Model Works out of York, Pennsylvania. And about a year and a half ago, he was advertising a quarter-scale B-2 bomber. So it's all vacuum form and 3D printed. And I went ahead and bought myself a Christmas present. It showed up in the mail at Christmas time, much to the wife's ire. She was not pleased again. But I went and cut the parts out. It was my first vacuum form. I cut the parts out, and the gear doors and the bomb bay doors in the bottom, they're scribed into the plastic. So I cut those out because that's logically where you do it. And the resin, 3D printed resin parts did not fit.
Oh, no.
They were too small. So the gear doors and bomb bay doors are too big. So they did not fit the parts didn't fit at all. So I emailed Chris up in Pennsylvania and said, hey, got a problem with your kit. So he went ahead and redesigned the 3D parts, which I guess kind of cool in that medium you can do that with your design. So the dimensions are the same, but there's a kind of a flange around the resin part. So it now fits in that recess. So he doesn't have to go and redo his molds for his vac parts. And for catching that, I was one of the first customers of that. For catching that, he gave me that 757 as a thank you. So got that in the mail probably about a year ago and started cutting out the parts because I wanted to use that as kind of the guinea pig vac and then move on to B2 later. And it took me a couple of weeks to cut the parts out and sand them out. Had never done it before. I had no idea what I was doing. And
first time you ever did a vac form?
First ever.
All right.
Outside of a couple canopies.
Yeah.
It's the first vacuum form parts I'd ever cut out. So as you look at it, some of the trailing edges are kind of thick as, you know, for a first time or next time, maybe I'll do a better job on that. But for the most part, the kit went together really well. The plastic is really thick, so no bulkheads inside, nothing to firm it up. The 3D parts were great. The only problems with those are you have some of the scan lines on them. So you got to sand those down, but that took, you know, all of a few minutes. And if you look at the engine faces, each blade is individual and you can see right through it.
Yeah, that thing looks really cool. One thing I'm digging on when it comes to the modern vac form kits that are out there is the fact that they're throwing in the 3D printed stuff. Because, you look at some of the older kits that are around, and I don't want to make a vac form radial engine. It's just not going to look cool.
No, or a vacuum form propeller.
Yeah.
Struts between, you know, the wings on a biplane of some of the...
Right, man.
Thing. So with the advent of 3D printing, Chris with Titan, he's got kind of a niche right now with those big jets. I think he's working on a C-5.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He sent me an A380 to show up at my door one day. Do you mind building this for me? And I'm like, no, that's cool.
72 scale A380?
Yeah, it's got about a 4-foot wingspan. It's about 4 feet long.
All right.
I've already cut the parts out. It's only, eight parts of back, and that's it.
So we talked about that a little bit last night at dinner, and I was asking you about, like, wing spars and things like that. Now, it's not that big. Do they provide, like, a spar or something?
No, so
there?
On the 757, the wings on that, it's all one part, upper lower has.
Okay.
With the dihedral already kind of molded in there. But I did put some brass tube in there, a telescoping tube, just for fun, just in case. And on the A380, since it's so big, the upper and lower halves are split in half. So the wings are, you know, they're halved on the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
But there's a natural break that I'll put a tab of styrene in there, but I will run some copper or brass tube in that just to give it some strength, because there are going to be four engines on that. And each engine, the diameter on that is wider than the 757 fuselage is.
Yeah.
And so it's got some weight to it.
It's got to have some weight, being resin and everything. Yeah. So, all right. Now, again, you know, so these are not for the beginner, man, these kits.
If you were to build a VAC, I would say this is a good one to start with.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Which? The
757.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, not that A380.
Well, it's, I mean, the only difference really is the downside is just the size of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 757, it'll be at this show. I'll take it to Fairfax next week. And then the owner of the company, I'm giving it back to him so he could use it to help promote his company to take the show.
Good.
Okay.
And so just real quick, again, promote the brand. Who is it again, and how can people look? Is there a website, et cetera?
Yeah, so it's Titan Model Works or Titan Models. He's on Facebook under Titan Models, and he's got a website that you can order from. He has a lot of European Airbus 747-800s, I believe. He doesn't have a KC-46 yet. That would be one that I would like to have. His decals are done by Draw Decal.
Okay.
Yep. Which are, it's a different type of film than what we're used to with the Cartograph or the Super Scale. They're almost plastic, which are very strong. They don't react to setting solutions at all. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you got a nice smooth surface and, you know, a lot of, you know, water and things underneath it to get them to adhere. So Draw Decal did the artwork for it. And each, I think the 757, I think Draw did 15 or 20 different schemes for it. So they just blow up their stuff they already have in their stock to 7 seconds.
Yeah,
do
all right.
Anything that's out there.
Okay, so the other thing you got on the table over there is in the real space category, which I know you're a fan of. I'm becoming a fan of that category, too. I have a couple of rockets I plan on doing at some point from the Mercury program. But what is that you have there? What kit is that?
So it's a 1/32nd scale Mercury capsule. The company originally was called Crow's Nest, and I don't know much about them, but it was taken over by a fellow named Jim Key and his company, Accurate, just Accurate Space Models. I don't know if it's got a name beyond that, but he also does a 1/12th scale Gemini capsule. That's pretty huge. 1/12th scale Saturn V F1 engine. The engineering and the casting are second to none. You're not going to find anything better than what Jim has done with his kits that he's got out there.
Wow, yeah.
He has, so that Crow's Nest capsule, there is also a Crow's Nest Atlas rocket that goes with it. So you could actually buy the rocket, stick it on there. I don't know if they're in production anymore. I missed a couple of chances to buy them when they were out there. They're about $300.
Yeah.
But it's money well spent. You're not getting a piece of trash. I mean, the casting, it's perfect. There's nothing to cut out. No pore stubs to cut out, nothing. So when Jim took over Crow's Nest, the tower on that, escape tower, that's 3D printed resin. There's a kind of like a spike on top of the escape tower rocket, and that's turned brass. That's in there.
Okay.
The instructions were really wordy. That was kind of hard to follow if I had a criticism, but they were, you know, pretty old. But having a lot of photographs of the real thing actually kind of helped out. And it's out of the box. He released maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, the base that it's sitting on. It's modeled after the National Air and Space Museum pedestal that they sit on there.
Okay.
And then the acrylic on top of that with the Mercury logo, that's also came with it. And that was about $15. That wasn't expensive at all. Then I cut some wood for the base. Inside the couch that the astronaut sits in, there's a HGW P51 seatbelts that I modified a little bit.
Okay, yeah, because your basic lap belt setup. And
kind of, it's a little bit different. Yeah, there's on a Facebook page, Historical Space Models or Space Modeling, there's a fellow named Barry Ferguson who's built a true 1/4 scale Mercury capsule. The thing's a couple feet long.
Whoa.
And that has been probably 90% of the research I've done has been looking at his pictures of his model. And he's got a lot of close-ups of the seats and the panels and all that. The periscope in there in the center, that's an International Space Station photograph that I cut out online and just punched out a disc and put it in there and put some epoxy on it.
Yeah. I was going to say, the interior looks friggin' great. And the fact that you have it lit is a wicked bonus, because yeah, it really shows it off. Now I see some people over there gawking at it on the table right now. We'll have to get some photos of both of those subjects and post them up on the Model Shack page, just so people know what we're talking about when they listen to this here. But yeah, fantastic work all around. Is that all you got? What else do you have out here? Those young things you brought?
I've got an X62A, which is a two-seat F-16.
Okay,
yeah. Which was the Hasega Tamiya C-kit that I chopped out the back seat and put a backseater in there for it. The Air Force, their Vista F-16, that was an NF-16D. They made more changes to it, so they gave it an X-plane designation. And the markings on that are from Two Bobs. That came out sometime last summer. I've got a QF-4N with a Russian KH-31 missile on it. It's got the orange tail with the Russian missile in the belly. And I got an A-10 that's new out there as well, and a Skyhawk from Pass River.
Yeah, you're a fan of orange stuff, man.
Well, there was a sale on MRP orange last year, and I bought them out. And it's just, I don't know, a couple of years ago, Darren had his thing, Aardvark's F-4 with the orange stripe on it. I remember him saying that orange just looks cool on a model.
Yeah.
And I have to agree, it really stands out and pops. And it's the weathering on the orange that I did on the A4 and the QF4 is actually, you can do a lot to it that, you know, you can do some other colors. It's kind of a unique look to it.
Yeah, you can fade it out really, you know, pretty, you know, there's a couple other aircraft over there too. I see an F-102 and then there's Nelson Keyes U-2 also with the orange. You're right, man. Orange does look great on an aircraft.
Well, I just like building weird stuff, weird colors. I can't do an F-4 and put Sparrows and Sidewinders on it.
Yeah.
You know, I got to paint it orange, put a Russian missile on the belly. Just being weird. And
well, all right, man. Thanks for sitting down and shooting the bull with us here for a little bit. And
thanks for having me.
You know, I know we like to, you know, Scott likes to rag you a lot on the show, tease you.
Well, you know, Scott was bullied as a child, so he just likes to pay back all that, feel better about himself. It's okay. You know,
all right.
I mean, he's out doing his nails and his hair right now. That's why he's not here.
Yep. What do you think of the show? Is this your first time up at a MosquitoCon or what?
No, I've come here since I moved to the Virginia area back in 2010. I think I've been here 5 or 6 times.
What would you say on the turnout today, though?
I think it's about the same as it's been in the past. Yeah, okay. On the East Coast, this is a pretty high-quality show. I think, you know, being a home fan, I think the Richmond show is the best. And, you know, Fairfax and this show are kind of in the same boat as far as what's showing up.
Yeah, this definitely has a big turnout. A lot of models on the table. A lot of, you know, I know a lot of people of late, Gundam is a big thing to talk about. And, you know, right in front of us here and where we're set up in the corner is probably, 2-3 tables of Gundam stuff. And then we have the vendors here right beside us too. So big giant turnout for on the Gundam scene for sure.
So this is the first show that I've been to, you know, years ago where the Gundams were actually represented really well, not just one table. Like for real space, there are only 2 models right now, including mine, so really underrepresented. But the Gundams here 4 or 5 years ago, first time it really started to pick up, and now it's a group on its own. You know,
yeah,
the aircraft, we got the armor, the ships, and I got the Gundams.
Yeah,
so it's really,
I would say that's like probably the 4th largest group out here is Gundam right now.
Yeah, it's not a fringe category anymore.
No. All right, man. I guess we'll wrap it up there. Good to see you. We'll go grab dinner tonight probably again, right?
Probably not. I'm driving home.
Oh, man.
I got to go to work tomorrow morning.
Oh, geez. Too bad. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later. All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for taking some time out of your hectic day up there, gripping and grinning with everybody and pontificating about your projects.
Hectic day. He does more. He's a lurker. He's always walking around the tables.
Yeah.
He's always walking around the tables looking, just keeping to himself. You know, that's what the secret agent
making mental
man.
Notes.
Yeah. Making mental notes. Congratulations on the A-10. And like I said, Chris, you can't bitch about that airplane anymore. That's all I'm going to say.
Bitching is
the bitching's
secure.
Over.
What'd the A-10 go home with? Did that go home with best aircraft?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn. So he's done.
Yeah. Oh. Enough griping.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Who else?
So I ran into not an old friend, but a guy who I didn't expect to see at a model show. I've run into him plenty of times at air shows, particularly down there at the Military Aviation Museum. Ricardo von Puntakamer. He's a aviation photographer and co-founder and executive editor of Aviation Photo Journal. And in fact, right now he's down at Sun and Fun snapping away. Really nice guy. And like I said, I would see him at the MAM air show all the time. And I met him through Hagen, Klaus, a few times. Super nice guy. And I saw him there and I was like, oh, hey, you know, you do models as well. And he's like, yeah, you know, if it's aviation, I want to come see it. So he was obviously hanging out at around the airplane tables as well as sure. the other stuff on display. You know, a very well-known guy up that way. You know, he lives over there right in New York City. So thank you, Ricardo, for stopping and saying hello. It was great to meet you in person once again.
And just real quick for the uninitiated out there, those that when Whitey talks about MAM, we're talking about the Military Aviation Museum down in Pungo, Virginia. And if you're ever down in that area and get a chance to go look at the collection, flying collection that they have down there, all the way down to the World War II. That's a European World War II tower they have, airfield tower.
RAF, yeah.
Yep, RAF tower. Grass strip. They've got the BF-109. They've got a 190. They've got a Sky Raider. They got flying down there.
A mosquito.
A mosquito. One of only two, I think it is, that's in flying conditions condition. B-25. They just got a plethora of really cool stuff, and World War One stuff too. So check it out. Anyway.
Yeah. October timeframe is when they do their air show.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So let's see. We had, what about, you know, something that I noticed was the amount of Gunpla or Gundam stuff. Matter of fact, our neighbors at our booth were a Gunpla store. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the store. I don't know if you got a chance to write that down, but
I did not.
I'm going to find it and I'll put it in the show notes for our Gunpla fans out there. But there was a ton, I mean, a metric ton of Gundam on the table. And I didn't see any. I'm not a Gundam guy, but I didn't see anything that sucked. And that group of folks was having a good time.
And Brian Denklow from the Build Sideways podcast, we met him, and I grabbed a hold of him, and he kind of showed me around and pointed out the I basically was like, look, I don't know anything about this genre, so why don't you he kind of, lack for a better term, he kind of schooled me a little bit on what I was looking at with each of the different models on display. We talked about it at length a little bit more in the upcoming episode. But wanted to thank Brian for hanging out and being so personable as well. For myself, one of the things we were doing was we kind of threw out some poker chips for stuff that caught our eye. And, on that table was a... I didn't know the name of this, until I looked at the sheet there. There was a cargo loader drone. A Bill Gate was the name of it. So, and it was built by a fellow named Julio Guadalupe out of Brooklyn. And he came up to us at the end of the show, and he, really appreciative of the fact that he got, some recognition, because I liked what I saw in his build. Again, because of the weathering on it, I don't know what the story is with the character or the figure itself, And that didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was the finish on it. You know, it looked, right. You know, just, it looked like, you know, to my, you know, just a beat up piece of machinery. And that's kind of what he alluded to too. When we were talking with him a little bit, like, you know, he talked about the weathering and how he's like, I don't know. I just pictured like, you know, if that was, you know, a real machine, where would it be getting, you know, and doing the job that it was designed to do, which was to load cargo, where would the wear and tear happen and things like that. So that's, you know, that to me just sounds like a really cool eye to detail right there. And so and again, you know, it stuck out on the table to me, so that's why I tossed the old chip that way. So congratulations, Julio. Nice work. I believe he picked up an award with that as well, you know, from the actual
judges. Yeah, I believe he did too. What, you know, and what a super guy, just a really, really, really nice guy too. I really enjoyed talking to him. You know, that genre is one that there's so much you can do. You can take stuff from the aircraft genre, you can take stuff from the armor genre, and you can throw it in to that, right? You're talking about the beating it up, the weathering.
Yeah, taking those
skills. Chipping, the painting, mm-hmm. the dirt. All of it applies when it comes to those, to that genre. And I think it's really cool with some stuff that you can do.
Yeah. And like you say, very well represented up that way. And of course, one of our sort of hosts of the day that kind of brought us around introducing us to everybody, because he's like the mayor up there, was,
the mayor,
the, Model Insanities podcast's very own Rob Rivizzo. Rob Riv, he took some time out to sit down and chat with us as well. So, we can roll that here at some point. We'll lead into that and let y'all listen to Riv rant a little bit.
yeah,
I was disappointed he didn't bring anything. I wanted to see some of his work, but he was reserving it all for the, AMPS, which is going on as we speak as well. So down there in South Bend, Indiana.
The thing about Riv is he doesn't compete.
Right. So. But, you know, well, I guess they don't do a display only.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he does do display stuff, but he doesn't do any more, I'm assuming, any more type of
just regular
competing,
shows,
which is kind of what I'm getting into as well, too. I'm just having more fun displaying stuff and talking to our cast of characters out there, our band of merry men, if you will. But yeah, anyway, Riv is Rob's he's a character, ain't he?
Yep. Yeah, man. So, and actually I ran into him at the beginning of the show. He was over there giving what's his name, Gene. He was giving Gene a hard time. Of course, those guys go way back. And so I heard him out of the corner of my ear. I hear this voice, and he's over there just giving Gene reading the riot act, trying to haggle him down on price. Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Host of the Insanity podcast, which I want to thank him for the shirts. I'm sporting mine this evening. Got my old.
Yeah, man. I could always use another t-shirt. Yeah.
That's right. So I appreciate that. And, you know, we, like you said, we had a chance to sit down and kind of chew the fat with him and listen to him rant. So let's take a minute and, you know, let the listeners, let's introduce
them
to
the audience.
Yeah. Subject the audience to the insanity that is, there's a reason why on Discord they've got their video rooms called the lobotomy room and shock therapy room, straight jacket closet, etc. And I think it all has to do with this cat, but we'll go ahead and give the listeners a little taste of what is the Rob Riv. We think,
do it, roll.
All right, welcome back. This is Whitey again at the MosquitoCon 32 up here in Wayne, New Jersey. We're sitting down with a fellow podcaster from the Model Insanity podcast, Mr. Rob. I'm going to butcher your last name. I'm just going to say Rob Riv.
That's bad. Just stick with
there
the
you
Riv.
Go. Rob Riff, how's it going, man? Good to see you.
Doing well, Whitey. I'm glad to be with you guys. I've been pestering you guys since, what, 9 o'clock to get on? And I'm the last guy to get on, it looks like.
Well, you've been judging a lot.
We'll see. You've been busy judging out here. How's everything looking?
This is a great show. MosquitoCon is always a great show, though. And, you know, for them not to have less than, you know, 500 models, you know, it's always, you know, 500 models is the, you know, a standard here in MosquitoCon. Yep. So sometimes they get like 700. I think today is more like 550, I think they have here tonight. It's a lot of models out there.
So what category did you judge in?
Armor.
What one? Remember, this is going to drop weeks.
No,
from now,
I don't know.
Feel
one,
free to say.
Well, I don't know one best armor just yet because.
What do you like out there?
No, I lie. I do know one best armor. It was an FT-17 that won best armor.
Oh, okay, cool.
It was really, really done really well.
We'll keep that under our hat while we're here in the hall.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, you know, weeks from now, this will drop. And so, you know, it'll all be said and done.
If it drops.
Well, if you make the cut on the cut.
Listen, Darren's got to get on the ball here because he's been laxing on the editing. As someone who listens to, you know, I used to not listen to a lot of podcasts until Chris Meddings gave me a hard time about not listening to podcasts. When I made the comment one time that I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, I don't want to be influenced by other people's shows.
Yeah.
There is that, yeah.
And I had said, and I made that comment, and he gave me a hard time about it. Like, you know how Chris is. Like, he'll say things under his breath a little bit. Like, he'll try not to be insulting, but while he's being insulting.
He's being insulting.
I don't know if it's a British thing, but. So I said, you know what, maybe I need to start listening. So I listen to you guys all the time, and I've realized over the last 5, 6, 7 episodes, the quality's kind of gone down a little.
Oh, is that right?
Man, thanks. All right.
Thanks for that.
So I'm hoping that my presence here might boost the ratings a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure it won't.
You guys had the Fonzie moment already. You've already jumped the shark a few episodes back. So we're trying to bring you back in. So this is sort of like Johnny Loves Chachi moment.
Oh, jeez.
That's a low point.
Nah, we're all right. No, but you are looking, though. This is a great show. I love MosquitoCon because this club in particular is really good. And this MosquitoCon is centrally located. And because there's not a lot of Jersey clubs, that everybody in this area comes to the show. So if you live in Jersey, you live in Maryland, Eastern Pennsylvania, Delaware, they're all coming to this show. So Long Island, that's why we're here.
Yeah, it's a good turnout, man. This is the second time I've been up here for it. I know we had guys in our club who come up to it every year.
Yeah.
It's a haul, man.
It's a bit of a drive, so we do, you know, spend a night or two. You know, we come up yesterday, Friday afternoon, drove up here, spent the night last night, and we're not going to drive home tonight. We'll stick around just because it makes for just too long of a day.
Yeah, I'm about with no traffic, it's about an hour away. With traffic, you know, you add an extra hour.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of Long Island trying to get here. We flew here this morning, but I'll always come to MosquitoCon if I can. The biggest show that they ever had was the year that they had the show in July after COVID, because they didn't have a show for the 2 years because of COVID.
We were at that one.
Is that the one we came?
Yep.
That is the one we came.
And that was the July show, and they had like, I think like 800-900 models at that show.
That was big.
Which is huge, because everybody was clamoring to get to a show. And this is already a big show. Think of like another 230, 250 more models here. And it was just chaos.
Yeah,
it was packing, you couldn't even put your model down. That's how many models that were here. So,
yeah.
All right. What else? You didn't enter anything, though.
I did not enter. You know, I don't, as I say on our podcast, I don't really enter shows as much anymore. I'm more of like a display guy. So at Amps Nationals, I'll have my display. I didn't really want to box things up and bring things here to display and then put it away. No one gives a crap about my stuff anyway. So it's, you know, listen, it's just a lot of stuff going on. There's Steve Santucci, my fellow pod, you know.
All right. There he is.
Look at him. Look, you know,
he's got the sweatshirt on and everything.
Steve, please. You're representing our podcast and you look like a schlemiel walking around.
Hey, speaking of, where's the, you said you had t-shirts?
I gave you your t-shirt.
Okay, Darren's hiding in front of me.
I gave t-shirts and I wanted a Model Geeks sticker.
You got you covered.
And no, I already got one, but it took like it was like pulling teeth with Darren. It was like he had the sticker, he showed me the sticker, but then he put the sticker away. So then I had a show and he's like, oh, you want a sticker? Oh, I already got, well, no, that's the old version now. You don't have, what's his name? You don't have, what's his name on there?
Yeah, El Prez isn't on, but here you go. You know, put it on your fridge.
You know what, man? This is the one where it's the caricatures of yourself. You know, Whitey, you look pretty good in this stuff.
Hey, thanks, man. I clean up all right.
You know, I don't know, man. Nemo, I don't know, man. There's something wrong with that guy. Did you guys do, like, when you guys started your podcast, I just got to just ask this, because when I started The Insanity, we were kind of an offshoot of the Miscreant podcast.
Right.
So I kind of had an idea of who I wanted to bring on with me on The Insanity. But, like, I know you guys are all, like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, they say, well, you're friends with people because of proximity. Like, you grew up next to each other, so you're friends. Would you have been friends if you didn't live next door? The question is this. If you guys weren't all in the same model club, would you guys had a podcast together? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Probably. I'm sorry. I don't know. Probably not. I mean, it was born out of us all hanging out and bullshitting about models.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
No, I'm only kidding. You know, I'm trying to.
No, that's a great question.
It is a good question.
I'm interviewing you right now.
Yeah, I know.
This is becoming the Model and Insanity podcast.
Why don't you save it till you have us on yours?
Well, you know what we're doing? I'm going to tell you what we're doing here.
Oh, so he's going to tell us now.
No, all right. Tomorrow, we're recording with the Black Rifle Model Works guys.
Good
in
guys.
England.
Good
Luke
dude.
Carswell and Stuart and those guys, Adam, Challenger. We're doing a live stream. Well, it's not going to be a live stream, but we're doing their StreamYard for their YouTube channel. And we're also going to be doing a podcast at the same time with them.
Yeah.
They're great guys. We get along great. And I felt like it would be really cool to start doing some cross shows once in a while. Remember, when we first started doing the Mutual Admiration Society page, I kind of brought up the idea of doing a roundtable.
Yep.
I brought it up. I said, listen, it would be a great idea if, like, you know, people listen to the Geeks, people listen to the Sprue Cutters Union, people listen to the Posse, you know, Build Sideways, whatnot. I said, it would be awesome if we got together and had, like, a roundtable just to talk modeling, but have, like, you know, different guys from different shows. And it turned into what we had that one show with the producers of the podcast.
Yep.
So, you know, you got people walking around. Some people might know the Geeks. They might not know the Insanity. Or they might not know Build Sideways. You know, that's why I always feel like if you promote each other on your podcast, might get everybody. Because it's not a competition.
No,
you
not
know?
At all.
It's and not like people listen to our shows taking viewers and listeners away from yours. They're all listening to all of them. You know, and our show is totally different than your show. You know, we do talk the hobby, but there's also a lot of banter that I keep in there. You're going to hear me break chops.
A lot of profanity, too, man. Let's keep it clean while you're in
there. I didn't drop an episode.
We're being careful here.
A rant or two.
What do you want me to rant about? I already ranted about Steve Santucci. This guy's representing our podcast, and he's walking around. He looks like he just got off of 42nd Street.
No, that's how we say it. Looks like he just fell out of a hobo's ass.
Pretty much. I mean, I love the guy. He's one of my best friends. Maybe I get away with breaking his chops a little bit, but, I mean, just take care of yourself. You know? But, no, I love this show. Great guys. Really great guys. And, you know, there's a lot of good work out there. The Gundams, they always have great Gundam stuff here.
Big turnout on that.
Great show.
The armor is really, really good. You know, it's a lot. Like, we talked about before, before we recorded, but a lot more armor than I expected. I thought there was going to be a little less because of Ants being so close this week. But there's a lot of good armor pieces there.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about the same thing coming up here. We were like, wow, you know, because, you know, Darren was talking about maybe going to Amps Nats. And then, you know, so like, well, there probably won't be a lot of tanks because of the Nats happening next week, you know. Right. But turns out, no. Like you said, awesome display of armor out there.
It's great.
A little light in the figures and a little light in cars.
And what's
automobiles.
That?
So I was kind of shocked there, but
yeah.
What's that piece of tread that's over there?
Yeah,
speak of that, because you like broke that thing down like a science, man.
What's that?
The piece of tread.
Oh, there's some
tank track.
So Mark Roca, who's a member of this club, brought a real piece of Panzer IV 3/4 track link. So it's from a rear vehicle. He didn't really know what version of track it was, but you can tell by the guide teeth and by the tread plate that I was able to know that it was a Panzer 3/4 7A track, which is the latest track that they used. So I was able to bring up one of the models I did and showed him.
Like you said, that I was impressed by your breakdown on that, and like you were like, oh, the length of the what do you call that thing? I don't know the nomenclature. You took the thing in the center.
Yeah, the track teeth.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, I'm an armor guy and I'm a builder. Everybody knows that I'm a builder first and a painter, but I'm pretty good with that stuff. So, but Listen, if you look at those, I'm not armor, like we talked, Whitey. I'm an armor guy, but I'm impressed by the planes on there. John Colasanti, I know you guys had him on. John is a great guy, amazing person in the hobby. But the work that he does, he earned the challenge coin. So we're giving out 10 challenge coins at the show.
Uh-huh.
He took one of mine. He did a Spitfire. I didn't even know it was his mom. I put the challenge coin down, and then I looked at the name like, oh, John's.
I'll have to go look. What
it was a Spitfire. It's sort of like in the middle of the table.
Okay. 48 scale, or do you know?
I think
it's 48.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. And
okay.
This Mike W. Wachowski.
Yeah, Wachowski. Yeah.
I mean, the name from the Monsters Incorporated name.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that guy, I mean, he has a specific style of painting, and I've seen his stuff before at shows in the past, and he's won a lot of good awards here. He's an amazing painter.
Like, he is.
I think his stuff, I gave him, I would have given him all my challenge coins and jar, but it's amazing how well he paints them on.
Yeah, he's a master at it for sure. And I mean, my thing about him, like I was telling Darren about it, I asked him one time about his technique and how he's like, he sprays at like 60, 80 PSI.
It's insane.
And I didn't believe him when he said that. And then he shoots me a video and he's like, what? Yeah, watch. And he's like shooting camo on a Harrier and just like, boom, banging it, man. And I was like, how do you do that? Like that much PSI? But, you know, he airbrushes for a living. He's got that muscle memory down. His triggering and all that kind of stuff is just like second nature to
him. It's like being a golfer, man.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing. And
muscle memory.
One thing about this show, Mosquito Con in general, it's the level of skill here is amazing. Like, look at the figures. I mean, if you know anything about Gundams, I mean, I know a little bit, but not a lot. I mean, you got Brian Denclough here, who's on the Build Sideways podcast.
He's here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't met him.
Brian is here. I introduced him to Darren, but if I see him, I'll show you who he is, Whitey. I mean, he did a Gundam. Amazing. I mean, scratch-built stuff, redid stuff. It's amazing. The level of skill here between the Gundams, the armor, the ships. Ships are amazing at Mosquito Con. Bob Ciccone. I don't know if you know who Bob Ciccone is.
The name rings a bell.
Bob Ciccone is an ex-ESPN, those little sprint car racing guy back in the 90s. He's always been on ESPN.
Okay, yeah.
Great guy. There's a couple of videos on YouTube of him crashing into walls. It was fantastic. If you ever see the ships that this guy builds, the really small-scale ships, was it like the 700
probably, yeah.
I mean, listen, I consider myself a pretty decent armor builder, but I don't know if I can ever do anything like that guy does.
It's funny you mentioned, like, you know, you got a guy who's a sprint car racer, but his hobby is ship modeling.
Yeah.
I met a guy here a little while ago. His name's Stu. Interesting dude. Marine Corps infantry officer, retired, but he's a full-on aircraft builder. You know, his interest is kind of mirrors mine, the early jets of the Navy and Marine Corps. And, you know, I'm like, so I'm talking to him for a while over here, and I'm like, so how about armor stuff? You don't mess with, you know, some of these vehicles you were around in your career. He's like, no, I have no interest in building any of that stuff because I was around it so much. But, you know, and then he gets his interest in aircraft from his dad. And it was an interesting conversation. You know, it's just that, you know, I grew up an airplane geek. So me building model airplanes is not a surprise to anybody. But I hear something like that where, you know, you have a sprint car racer guy. And does he, you know, if he does any automobiles as well?
He did like the... I don't know if it's necessarily sprint cars. It's, I can't remember. It's like the smaller cars they used to run. Remember ESPN used to do like Friday night, like
with the
races?
Big fin things on the top.
Yeah, it's Outlaws, midget Outlaws. Yeah.
Okay. Dude,
yeah.
I mean, the guy, I wish he was over here. He's a funny guy, Italian guy. You think I got a thick accent? You should hear how he talks. But, it's amazing. The ships that he builds is outstanding.
I'll have to go take a look at them after this. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. They do a great job, and I'm always glad to come here and have a good time and see everybody. I mean, coming to these shows for me is just hanging out and contribute and have fun. You know, have a couple of laughs, break chops.
Break chops on Gene.
Oh, did you like that with Gene back?
Oh, man, you're just a bastard to that guy.
No. It's all out of love, though, when I talk.
I know. Yeah,
oh, were you over busting poor Gene's balls?
Yeah, of course.
He was.
Listen, Gene doesn't get a free pass.
I did buy something from him.
I did
so,
buy
you know.
Something. One of the, a lot of people ask me about the story about when I used to do a podcast with Jeff Hearn back in the day. I had told a story early on the infancy of that podcast about my Gene Bagnoli story. And that story is like always something that people talk about because it was a funny story about how you get the Gene deal.
Yeah.
So Gene Bagnoli's got like this, hey, he haggles with you. He's haggling with you as if like, you know, it's a back and forth thing, and it's not. You know what you're getting already when you get the Gene. So when you grab one of his boxes, he's got like two prices on there. He's got the price that he supposedly bought the kid for, the price he wants to sell it, But then he gets the kid, and he's like, and he always gives it to you like $3 lower than the lower price all the time. It's like he does it in a way where you feel like you're getting something at a good deal, even though he was going to do that no matter what.
Yeah. Well, except with you. I think he quoted about $8 more.
Yeah, he did, I think. You know, then he gives it, oh, you know, I'm only making $2 on this kit. I was like, I'll give you $10 more if you want. Listen, he's getting old now, man. And the funniest thing about Gene, and if anybody knows Gene Bagnoli, he's been vending at these shows since I'm a kid.
Yeah.
So I've been, I'm going to be 50 and next month. And I know him since, it was 30 years. I was in my early 20s when I first met him, maybe earlier. And he still banters with his wife the same way he bantered.
Oh, no, we've listened to it.
That's always been a signature as well.
Busting my balls.
So funny.
And they sit at like and their vendor table will take if depending where they would be located, they stretch the entire length of the wall that they're on. And Gene will be on one side and Betty will be on the other. And then you'll say hello to Gene and then you'll say hello to Betty and they'll say the same thing. Ah, life sucks. My back is killing me. Oh, he's doing horrible. You know, I can't do this no more. This is my last show. Every time we see them, they both say the same thing on both ends of the vendor table. And it's great. And I'm going to miss Gene because I know he's not coming to Amps Nationals. And I really think that he's starting to wind down now. It's starting to be time for him to hang up the vendor hat, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's always fun seeing.
Well, hopefully he presses on, you know.
I do, too, because that guy owes me a lot of money. You know, I don't want him checking out too early because he still has a lot to make up for, you know?
Nobody said anything about him checking out.
I don't know, man.
Well, speaking of checking out, so you're 50. I just want to say.
I'll be 50 on May 23rd, Memorial Day weekend.
I just want to say welcome to the Half Dead Club.
Listen, I don't want to talk about it. I'm losing my hair. I'm going gray really bad. I blame my wife for most of it, the job for part of it, and the hobby for the rest of it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's. Listen, it's been a great... everybody knows me. I'm a colon cancer survivor. I had colon cancer at 41 years old. I'm lucky to still be here, so every day I wake up is a good day.
There you go.
I promised myself then that I would live life to the fullest, have fun while I'm doing it, enjoy my life, enjoy my family, enjoy my friends, enjoy the hobby, and live your life like today could be your last.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why I'm always having a good time. Sometimes it rubs people the wrong way, but that's my personality, you know. I always do that little, I'll always say something and I'll always give you that little jab afterwards. Like I'll give a compliment, but then it's not really a compliment.
Yeah.
Like Darren, like I said to you this morning, Darren, you look fantastic. You don't look a day over what? How old are you, Darren?
Yeah, you know.
How old are you?
45.
You're 45?
Yeah.
You don't look a day over 46. But I did tell Darren, though, and I don't know if Whitey knows about this, that I'm a little disappointed that you're not coming to the Amps Nationals. We have to take a picture of you because we're going to be doing the, is it Darren Cook or is it Steve Munzel contest at Amps?
Yeah. And that's going to be a good one.
That will be a good one because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a couple of people who are not going to be able to know who's
who. I think we're going to have to do that at Nationals up in Monona Terrace as well.
Steve Munzel's a great guy.
Super guy. One of the best in the hobby.
But there's two things you don't want to do with Steve Munzel.
Oh, yeah?
Well, at least one thing. Don't share a room with Steve Munzel.
Oh.
Steve Munzel gets up every hour to go to the bathroom. And he snores terribly.
Guess who else does?
Whitey.
Oh, yeah.
I told you, man. I'll put my mouth guard in, man.
Listen.
My CPAP. What do you call this?
The CPAP machine?
Yeah. He's got the CPAP.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I got it to, I'm going to tell a funny story. This has got to make the podcast. So we were at an ArmorCon one year. It was me and a bunch of the guys and a good friend of ours. He's a little bit older. snores terribly when he's asleep, so he wears a CPAP machine. And we got into a big argument before we got to the room. And I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I can't wait for you to go to bed because I'm going to fart in your CPAP machine.
I heard that same thing last night. Told me the same thing sitting at the bar. Run your mouth again. I'm farting in your CPAP machine. That's what he told me.
That's what he said?
No, no.
And I swear when I tell you, this poor guy.
I would never.
Was so nervous that I was really going to. He's like, you can't do it. It can cause germs in there. It could kill me. I'm like, listen, I'll take the risk. I said, you know what? How great. I said to him, I go, you know how great that court case would be? Man kills friend by farting in the CPAP machine. I will be famous if I did that. Right? So look at, and I got Steve Santucci hovering over here like a vulture. Steve, say hello to, you know, well, look at Steve. You did good. Did you have a good day today? Did you give out the challenge coins? All right, good. This is, you know Whitey, right?
Yeah, Whitey, we met earlier. Yep, Steve. Good to meet you.
You know Darren.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing good. We're going to, they want me out, so I got to sign off. But listen, that would have been a great court case if I would have killed him farting in his CPAP machine. That would have been great.
Glad you didn't, man.
I don't know. That might happen eventually. Yeah. We got to test that theory out. Can you really kill somebody?
I don't know.
We're going to try on you, Darren.
No, we won't. No.
No. We'll try on. We'll give you a shot. One day, you'll go to bed, and there'll be me snuggling up against you.
Oh, what a way to end this segment.
I'm only kidding.
Thanks for that visual.
No. Well, for me or for him? Dude, I thank you for the other Model Geek sticker.
All right.
It's a really, you look good, Whitey. Unfortunately, you look about 10 years younger in this.
Yeah, I know, man. I used an old photo, that's why.
What year was this made?
2021, right? Yeah.
Oh, is that when you guys started?
That's when we started.
Yeah. I think the miscreant started right around the time you guys started, too. We all started around the same time. The miscreants just didn't.
It was that whole COVID thing, man. We're all, you know, hanging in our basements.
And then I met Whitey. I met you at AMPS 2022, right?
Yeah, briefly. Yep.
Yeah, you were at 2022.
I wish I stuck around longer for that show. I didn't plan it out well. I should have came down and like spent the weekend. I came down. I was a few hours, and then I had to book home. Poor planner on my part.
That was a nice show, but you know it's in Camp Hill again next year.
So is it?
Yeah.
Oh well, mark it on the calendar, Dan.
And IBMS Nationals is going to be in Virginia next year, so that's
2020. Yes, it is,
and I will be there.
So boom, boom. All right,
I will be at that show.
All right.
So then I'll find a good restaurant in the area that meets my standards, and I'll treat the.
We have Olive Garden down there.
Listen, Darren has this in his mind that I go to. Listen, if you're getting all you can eat garlic breadsticks or salad, take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely.
But you know, so
plenty of good seafood down that neck of the woods.
No, there it is.
Just go get that.
Up on Long Island. I mean, we have great restaurants, great seafood, great city for food and everything. So.
All right. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with us, Rob. Good to see you this weekend. Glad we come on up here to the Mosquito Con. And we'll be tuning into the next Model and Insanity podcast for sure.
When's that going to drop? What?
The next episode drops on Monday.
Now, what? So for AMPS Nats, are you guys going to be doing any of this down there?
We're going to try to get the setup to work. I don't have these type of mics. We have the Blue Yetis. And I know Darren hooked us up with the Zoom. I'm going to try to get it to work. If it doesn't work this time around, it will work the next time around. But we're going to try to do something there.
Yeah.
And with the Mojo guys are going to be there, as well as the Posse. Now, I use my AMPS Cloud. I know we were going to sign off, but I got to get this out there.
Go ahead.
I use my AMPS Cloud because, you know, you guys are IPMS guys. More. I'm an AMPS guy. So I got the Posse is in the back left, all the way in the back of the convention hall. So you got to go through everything, the vendors, the display area. Even the bathrooms to get to the Posse. And the Mojo are on the other side, pretty much the same distance away. And the Insanity is right up at the front when you walk in.
Look at you.
I'm only kidding.
Taking care of your friends.
I'm only joking. We're all together at the show. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a wicked good time.
I wish you guys can make it, but it'll be all
right. Yeah.
Well, El Presidente will be there.
We'll send him your way to sit down and maybe do something like this himself, you know?
And I thought that you guys, again, the little giveaway that you guys did was awesome that night.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's awesome that you guys did that. And a couple of guys that you met there, like Glenn Stewart that jumped on as a listener to your podcast, is a good friend of mine. I know him for years, great guy. And I know it was nice to see people pop up that you guys did that. We don't do a Patreon and we don't do anything like that. Maybe in the future we'll do something like that. But in the meantime, we do our build rooms. I know Darren come in all the time. We have a real time.
Yep,
so we got to come in, Marty. We have a good time, you know.
Yeah, I do need to make that effort and get on there.
We're in every night. We're going to be in tonight. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to say hello to my wife, and I'm going to be in the build room.
I'll be busy trying to hide my CPAP machine. So,
all right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Thanks for taking the time to sit down,
guys.
Dude.
Stay safe.
We'll see you. Take it easy.
All right, thanks, Rob Riv. Thanks for sitting down with us, and thanks for being a gracious host to us up there at the show. It was great hanging out with you. Wish we could have went out for a few drinks afterward. Not a problem, though. Good to see you. Hope you're having a good time down there at Amps this week. And also your podcasting cohort there, Steve Santucci. Nice to meet you as well. Good chatting with you. Have you met Steve before, or just from the rooms?
No. I just the only time I ever met him or any of the guys from other than Justin, right? Which we'd met him before.
Yeah, Justin Ryan. Yep.
Yeah. No, only in the build rooms. And I got to tell you, man, I'm not disappointed. Every single one of these guys. Well, every single one of these guys I've met outside of the build room have just been as genuine as the day is long. They're just they're
good
great
people,
folks,
man.
Yep, good people, and I'm happy to have met them. Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, who else? Let's see. I guess last but not least, I got to give a big shout out to Big Bill Schwartz for accommodating us up there. I mean, and you know. He's a Navy veteran. Yeah. Well, Navy vet like ourselves. So he's all about the max flex.
Yep.
You know, so as OPSO, I was really late at coordinating. And I shot him an email like, I don't know, 4 days out. I was like, hey, we're coming your way. Is there any chance, you know, you can have a spot somewhere? And, you know, table wise, we have our own, but still he had one for us if we needed it. So we appreciate that. You know, again, thanks for accommodating us, setting us up in the hall there. That was great of you. We really appreciate the hospitality of the IPMS New Jersey folks up there who run Mosquito Con every year. It's a great show. If you're in Region 2 on the East Coast somewhere, Northeast, definitely mark that one on your calendar. And go check it out. It's a good show.
I agree 100%. And I could tell you could feel and you start to experience the hospitality the minute you walked in the door. Here we came in there at 7, like I said, 7:30, between 7:30 and 8. And everybody there wasn't like, oh, Gustav, I was here. Gustav, I was here. Blah. Who the hell are you? No, they were like, hey, man, welcome.
Great
it was.
Attitude.
Yeah, right from the beginning, and just a great, great group of people. Now, as the OPSO there, Mr. Whitey, you'll need to go stand in the corner and counsel yourself for the next 15 minutes. But
it was everyone hemming and hawing about whether or not they were going at all, you know? Hey, you want to go to Mosquito Con? I don't know. When's that?
I was always on. You never heard me him and haw.
Not you. All right.
No. Nope,
myself, I hemmed and I hawed.
You did. You hemmed and you hawed. And actually, you hemmed and you went. The rest of them hemmed, hawed, and stayed. So, but it's okay. It's okay. Everybody's got their limits, things they've got to do, right? I mean, I'm not going to the show this weekend. I've got honeydew things I've got to get done around here. I can't go to every show every weekend.
Yeah,
none
believe
of us
me,
can,
I would love to go to everyone every weekend. You know, travel the East Coast and points west, but can't do it every weekend, exactly.
The last two I went to prior to this, I didn't even have anything to take to a show. I just went to a show to shake hands and grip and grin and
Well,
see what's on the tables, you know. That's
isn't that part of it too, though, man? I mean, I love going hanging out with guys like, you know, Mike and Nelson and Jay, and seeing the, you know, the quote cast of characters that we know from this hobby, and spending time with them outside of the hobby venue, like, you know, like you say, going out to dinner and stuff like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And so, you know, folks, if you got shows out there in your area, look, I met one gentleman. We talked about putting poker chips on models earlier, and it's something we do. It's just a kind of a Bravo Zulu job well done for kits that we like on the table. And I happened to put one on a car, and the guy came over and he was like, did you mean to put this on my model? You know, but he says, I'm very self-conscious. I don't usually enter into these contests because I'm my own worst critic. And I said, bro, you do. It's beautiful work. That's why it's there. And, you know, my point is if you want to put stuff on the table, put it on the table, because people are going to admire it. And it doesn't matter. You can only be first, second, third. There's no more at this point anyway, right? Yeah. Not everybody's going to win, but it's nice to get out there and just talk to folks like that about what they built and what they put on the table. Or, like you said, just hang out and talk about how'd you do this or how'd you do that. Or,
anyway. Now, was that the, what car was that that you, was that the stripped down NASCAR?
Yeah, so there was a Salvino's JR kit that was a cutaway. And I'm not his was that one or if it was the tractor with that tractor with the motor pulled out of it.
Oh, that tractor was cool too. So I met the fellow who did the cutaway, and you know, as diligent as I try to be with taking down names, I want to say his name's Jay. I know he's going to be in the list of winners, so we'll give him a shout out on our next show once that list pops. But spoke with him for a little while about his NASCAR vehicles, and they looked fantastic, great work, and that cutaway in particular was really. I know you dragged me over. And he said, "Yeah, man, come here. You got to see this thing, man."
Yeah,
you were pointing out the brake, you know, the discs and calipers and everything.
Yeah, the
like
brake
that.
Calipers.
Oh, they were all exposed. Really good. Just fantastic work there, buddy.
Yeah. 100% agree, my friend. 100% agree.
What else, man? What else was your takeaway your takeaway from MosquitoCon 32?
You know, I don't know. It's just great folks and great models, great time all the way around. I think if you're in the local area up there and you're not going to MosquitoCon, you're missing out. It's one of the longest running shows in the area up there. 32 years, I guess they're calling it. Well,
that was 32 then, yeah.
Yeah, so they've been doing it a long time. They know they're doing it right. Look, I want to give a real quick shout out to Powell too, right? The Police Athletic League facility there? Is that what that's called, Powell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really want to give a shout out to their concessions because let me tell you something. You go into, and as much as I love ODO up here, you go get a burger there, you're going to get something wrapped in tinfoil that's gray and a little bit anemic looking. Those folks up there, that was real beef they were pressing on the griddle and making fresh hamburgers when you ordered them damn things. They had empanadas. They had, I mean, you name it, they were popping it out, and it was reasonable, and they were doing it quickly. So my hat's off to the Powell facility up there and those folks running all that. They do it right. 100% they do it right.
Amen. All right. Yeah.
So
that, and shout out to Mindy at the hotel bar.
Mindy. Yeah.
Kept us. Kept us entertained and kept the beers coming for us.
That's right. That's right. Who was that? We also sat there. Who was the there was two couples that came in there. I can't remember what the
lady's
name that sat there at the bar. To be honest, I didn't catch their name. I should have asked, but what a great folks, man. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, they lived right up the street. They lived there right there in Wayne, and they had nothing but praise for their area there. They actually recommend, hey, you got to go to Maggie's. And we were like, wasn't there last night?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And they asked us, you know, they assumed we were in town for hockey because of the hockey venue down the road. And, you know, we're like, we're here for a model show there. And and at first they were kind of like, what is that all about? And then we, you know, started showing them the photos, and they were like, wow, this is some amazing. So total civilians, you know, no connection to the hobby whatsoever. And they were just really blown away by the photos that we had taken that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Great people. So,
yeah.
I think that's my main takeaway is the folks up there were great, all the way around. The facilities were great. The show was great. And, here again, if you're in that area up there, you need to go take in MosquitoCon next year. Good stuff.
All right. Yep.
I do want to ask real quick of the listeners, you know, this is something kind of we knew we started this year is doing these little post-show wrap-ups, and it won't happen, obviously, all the time. I don't think we're going to get anything out of this weekend show. Just because of the logistics of it. But I would like to know, and you can send us an email at the old contact at modelgeekspodcast.com or let us know over on the Facebook page if y'all like these little post-show wrap-ups and the interviews that we're trying to get knocked out. Obviously, making the listeners happy is what this is all about. So if you enjoy it, let us know. If you don't, let us know as well. We take all feedback on board, both positive and negative. So other than that, though, Whitey, no, I'll turn it back over to you. You got anything you want to, any last
no,
comments
sir.
Or thoughts?
That'll wrap it. And I'm off to the Nova show this weekend. Me, Frildo, and Scott.
Yep. As a matter of fact, if this while this is dropping, y'all are driving.
I hope so. What are you planning? A couple day turnaround here or something like that?
Oh yeah, I'll get this done up tomorrow, Saturday morning. She'll be dropped. So if you're listening to this, you guys are in the old Green Highlander, head towards Nova. Ready to put your stuff out there and do a little grip and grinning.
Hey man. All right, man. See you guys at the next show.
Yep.
Whitey.
And
out.
Yep. D ran out too. You all guys, you all be good to each other. And as we always say, get out there and drill something. Till the next time. Good night.
Take it easy, folks.